Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that makes the whole thing work. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. It's your last day working this week.
It is.
So we'll let you fire away on your rant because you are raring to go.
I am. The excitement is starting to settle in a little bit, so I'm at the point where I'm just going to...
For what?
Of going to the game.
Oh, I mean, I go to a lot of games. Oh, sorry.
Oh, my almighty!
I'm just kidding you. Go ahead. You can take a sledgehammer and put it over my head if you want.
So there's that, and also shout out to Bucknell Men's Hoops. Finally, the first W in the Patriot League, winning out at Army last night.
Oh, great.
Finally the first Patriot League win of the year. Still got a long way to go. It was a little bit of an ugly ending. At a 17-point lead in the second half, Army tied it in the final minute, but Andre screened with two free throws to put Bucknell back in front in the final second. So, nonetheless, it's still a big W for the Bison.
Well, what's your rant?
That's all I got today. I'm rant free today. I haven't really seen more. Well, actually, I lied. Actually, I do have something. I think the Giants themselves and Giant fans need to cool it down a little bit. You still got to remember you're playing the number one seed. You can be confident, that's fine. But I haven't really liked the way the Giants have conducted themselves this week. They've said stuff in the media, both players and coaches, that make you raise an eyebrow. Might be a little bit of locker room material, so to speak, bulletin board material, so to speak, but that's not how the Eagles roll. The Eagles, as you pointed out, Steve, are very businesslike. They go about their business. That's how they've been. So my confidence has actually risen a little.
You mean the quarterback who has a bounty on him? That kind of rolling?
Yeah, that.
That was Bush League.
That wasn't a great choice of word there, but
yeah, people lose their jobs over it. They get suspended for seasons, things like that.
But that hasn't been a common occurrence with Jalen Hurts. Let's put it at that.
Job there.
I like the way the Eagles have carried themselves this week, and I don't like how the Giants have carried themselves this week.
For the most part, irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. I've said this 1,000 times. That's bulletin board material. That's locker room material. You know what that means? Usually nothing.
I know. Okay. But I'm just giving out an observation. Great, that's all I'm saying.
The great philosopher Mike Tyson said everybody has a plan until they get smacked in the face. You'd be amazed.
That's valid. Very valid. But I'm just pointing out an observation.
The movies. Like, I always love the movies. The great locker room speech. They're fired up. They're running the field. They're going to fight. Oh, Christ. Fireworks. Everybody's going crazy, right? And, okay, we got the national anthem, right? And then Jets fly over. Okay, and then we got to go, and we got the coin toss. It's been 15 minutes since you had the great locker room speech. So now you got to go play. I always loved the movies. Right? You don't like how the Giants have conducted themselves this week. Oh, goodness.
Just an observation, that's all. I'm not saying it's going to affect the game one way or the other. I'm just giving out my observations.
It has zero to do with the game.
But that's all I got for today.
Zero to do with the game. I thought you were going to point out Jim Harbaugh. I kept waiting for you to go after Jim Harbaugh.
Well, we took care of that yesterday.
The NCAA has now delayed what it's doing because he keeps telling him he can't remember lying to them.
No, that's Bush League. I didn't see that.
You can't just read the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Yeah, that's bogus.
What? He might not remember. I don't know.
But if you're the NCAA, when you're an organization that cracks down on the stupidest things known to man, especially when it comes to this violation stuff, shouldn't that be a red flag to you? Is this thing on? I don't remember telling you these things.
Unfortunately, yes.
You get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Sometimes they do. I'll say that.
If you can't have fun on this show, you can't have fun anywhere. So he denies that he lied. That's what he said. And because of that, the NCAA has now delayed what they're doing. So they were trying to expedite the case, and they were trying to get to a negotiated resolution. But Jim Harbaugh has refused to acknowledge he lied to the NCAA. He has maintained he does not remember the incident in question, which has led to the standstill in the case. Okay. Now, remember, this is what he's trying to avoid. He is trying to avoid a level one violation, which means he would have to then accept a multi-game suspension. Now, the level two recruiting violations are less significant. What he's being charged with is lying about it. And now, at this point, you have to ask whether he is not cooperating with the NCAA, and that's a violation. So it is a standoff between him and the NCAA, and guess what? This could drag out. We could be talking about this a year from now. And it doesn't look like there's going to be any negotiated settlement between Michigan and the NCAA. So a year from now, we could still be talking about it, and there's no suspension for him. The bottom line is, Jim Harbaugh says he does not recall the incident in question. The NCAA is saying he's lying about that. So the question is going to be, does the NCAA do to Michigan, and this is now the example I'm going to cite is a far less benign situation, but is the NCAA going to do to Michigan what the college football playoff did to the Rose Bowl? Hey, you're either in or you're out. We're going to move on without you. Well, Rose Bowl's like, okay, we don't really have a leg to stand on, so we're going to move on with you. Okay. They could look at Jim Harbaugh and say, look, you know what? This is the conclusion we've come to. This is our ruling, and they can do it. Now, does he threaten a lawsuit? He wouldn't be the first one to try and sue the NCAA. And everybody else seems to win. Ever since Michigan beat Ohio State, Columbus, and won the, and then won the Big Ten championship. Right? They then lost the college football playoff game to TCU in a game where they were heavily favored. And they have been mired in controversy ever since. And Harbaugh did interview for the Denver Broncos job. It's also been interesting as to how he has communicated with the world that he is staying at Michigan. He has done it through Santa Ono, the university president, and not through the athletic director, Ward Manuel. And when he put out his statement, he mentioned Ono and didn't mention Manuel. And by the way, there's no new contract. Oh, and by the way, they're also embroiled in the Matt Weiss controversy as the co-offensive coordinator is on leave with a police investigation of a report of computer access crimes in the team facility at Schembechler Hall. Meanwhile, the rant of the day deals with words. Okay.
Wait, so Harbaugh's contract's not set in stone yet? I thought it was.
Well, he has a contract, but remember, he took a haircut.
Right.
2 years ago. Well, now they've been in the college football playoff and won the Big Ten title in each of the last 2 years and beaten Ohio State in each of the last 2 years. I think he would like to be compensated in the same way that others in the Big Ten are compensated.
Gotcha. That's true. Okay. I see where you're going now.
I believe that that's what you know, you're, and I don't know who Jim Harbaugh's agent is. I don't know if it's Jimmy Sexton or somebody else. I don't know. But I'm sure that that's what their thought process is. I mean, if you're Jim Harbaugh's agent, isn't that what you're thinking?
No question.
Right. So he took a haircut to stay with you. Okay, now they've had nothing but success since, and he would like, I'm sure, to be paid again. Yeah, you know, he's getting paid, but I mean, if even more than what he was getting paid before, because I think he may have taken as much as a 50% cut. Two years ago, they'd gone through the COVID year. They were, I don't know, what were they? Penn State was the last game they played. I think they were 2-5 that year. And everybody's wondering whether he would, you know, what's he going to do? Who really wants him? He takes the pay cut, which I think may have been as much as 50%, and they've done a great job of winning ever since. So, do you now sit there and, as his agent, you know, look, the iron is hot. I mean, it is scorching hot for him. And remember, I think it was Ward Manuel, by the way, that negotiated this pay cut. Well, he's communicating he's coming back, and he's communicating he's coming back through the university president. And not, which, you know, which is fine, but you would think of, you know, the athletic director is part of that process. That's one thing that James has right now. He's, I mean, between Neely Benvenuti and Patrick Kraft, they've got a great pulling the rope in the same direction relationship, which makes a big difference. Big difference. But on the rant of the day, we get somebody's feelings being hurt.
Well, I'll say this. The NCAA should bypass them and go for it.
Were your feelings hurt? The Giants, I think the Giants thing hurt your feelings.
No, those no feelings. We'll see what happens Saturday night at 8:15.
So you're cold. No feelings. You're a cold guy.
I'm going to be cold probably Saturday night, yeah.
I know you are. Yeah, what's the temperature going to be Saturday night?
It's going to be like around 40 by kickoff. So it's not that I'm not used to, but from doing football on the sideline toward the end of high school football season.
Yes.
But it'll be a little chilly. We're on the upper deck, so it's not going to be much wind, but when there's wind, you'll feel it.
Okay. Ooh. Brutal. Well, there's going to be, let's face it, the new TV contract with NBC. They've got night games, and the night games don't end in October. So you might have a night game in November. We're going to be chilly.
Yeah, but if the NCAA actually wants to show that they have a set of goyuns, they go ahead and just bypass Harbaugh.
Well, it you know, you got to understand where they're sitting with this. Are they sitting in a spot where they're comfortable doing that? Are they sitting in a spot where they have enough evidence from other people that he's lying? Or are they shy on enough of that where they really believe he is, but maybe they don't have enough? I don't know. Depends on how much you have and who said it. Yeah, Harbaugh knew about it. So if you got like three guys or three individuals saying, yeah, he knew, you might have enough. If you don't, then even I would sit there. I'd sit there, I don't know. We got to be careful about this. Because again, you don't want to get sued. Now, I realize in America, we don't have that problem with lawsuits. Okay.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Okay, so we have John Clark today. Who's going to be eating up some of the Kings' time. I mean, what's that deal? What, just so we like get the pom-poms out and root for the Eagles? This is like your show today.
I'm trying to make it about the people, especially with a local team in the divisional round this weekend.
Shikalimi made it?
Well, in terms of the local Pennsylvania team. Sorry.
Temple? No? Not it?
No.
No?
Not even close.
A lot of Giants fans in northeastern Pennsylvania. How come we didn't have Bob Pop on?
I've actually tried to reach out to him. I've never gotten a response.
Well, because he knows you're an Eagles guy.
I actually like Bob Papa a lot. I'd love to have him on. I just haven't connected with him yet.
He knows you're an Eagles guy. he's part of the double bird crowd. Which, by the way, everybody out there, Matt would never do that.
No.
Matt would not do a single bird, double bird, any kind of bird. It's not Matt Cotrillo. He would never do that. Now, Luke Cotrillo. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we'll take a break. Mark's too young, but does Luke know you're going to the game?
I have told him, but I don't know if he's fully comprehended that. But he knows that we're. He knows that Papa and Dad are going to the game.
I see. And he can sing the entire song?
Yes. And Mark's starting to catch on now, too.
Are all the words in order? Or?
Yes, they are, in fact, and the letters.
So the words are all in the proper order?
Yes. And it may be sound a little on the gibberish side, but they're still in the right order.
Oh, for goodness sakes, in the third quarter, half the Eagles crowd's like that. He fits right in.
That I won't deny.
Nice try. All right.
Alright.
Have another Schmitz. We're good. All right. Do they still have Schmitz? Does it still exist?
That's a good question.
Because I am no connoisseur of beer.
If there is, I've never had it.
Right. There's so many new ones, and there's old ones that have gone out. You know. Schmidt's was a Philly beer. Hmm.
Then I'm sure somebody's got to have it then.
So when he gets to like to spell Eagles, does he just say all rise instead?
No, but at the beginning of football season, when I had football on, he kept saying all rise. I'm like, no, that's baseball with the Yankees. This is Eagles. This is football. And now we've caught on to that.
Well, Lisa says you screamed at him. I don't quite get that reaction.
But now, thanks to my Aunt Pat, for Christmas, Mark, and sometimes Luke reads it too, but I mostly read it to Mark because it's a board book, it is Eagles ABCs. It's a fantastic book.
C is for championships, or the lack thereof.
Now that's V for victory, and then S for Super Bowl.
You don't have a lot of those.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department, great technicians to back it all up. You may have just seen his recent segment on NFL Films on his great career. But he's also, for a guy that's in retirement, when you're Ray Dittinger, you're going to end up being back. They're going to keep saying, come on, you got to come back. And then he's on NBC Sports Philly and WIP. So much for retirement. Ray, welcome. It is always great to have you with us.
Always good to be with you, Steve.
How humbling was it to have the NFL Film segment?
pretty humbling. I when they called up and said that they were doing a piece about me, I thought they were joking because I worked there for 12 years, so I knew all those guys. So I thought they were pulling my leg. I mean, come on, you're going to do a piece on me? I mean, what? Jim Brown wasn't available. I couldn't quite figure it out. I honestly thought they were kidding, but then they convinced me that it was for real, and they came and they did this piece about my career sort of winding down, and it turned out it was really beautiful. It was really, really nice. It aired on NFL Network and Fox Sports 1 in December, and I got tremendous feedback from it. I mean, I heard from people I hadn't heard from in years all over the country that, you know, NFL Films has quite a reach. So I heard from a lot of people who really enjoyed it. So it was a surprise, but it was really nice.
Was there anything in it where it touched you more than anything else? Maybe something you hadn't known and hadn't heard from somebody before?
I think reinvoking my relationship with Tommy McDonald was probably the most touching part of it. I mean, the whole idea that when I was a 10-year-old kid, I went to Eagles training camp and asked for his autograph, and he let me carry his helmet, and it was something that we did over the course of his whole time with the Eagles. I would go back to training camp and I would meet him, and he was just so nice to me. In addition to being a great player and my boyhood hero, that we actually kind of forged that sort of relationship, and then it continued continued on in the years after he retired and I got into the business. And then, you know, we wound up becoming friends, and I sort of led the campaign to try and get him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And when he got voted in 1998, he asked me to be his presenter.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that whole experience with Tommy, which has always been, you know, just a wonderful memory for me, to see it as a big part of that show, and then see the old footage, the old black and white footage of Tommy doing his thing at Franklin Field, that was really pretty great.
It was interesting. A few weeks ago, I saw Dana O'Neill from The Athletic, and she doesn't, you know, she doesn't cover the Eagles. She covers college basketball and does it brilliantly.
Yeah.
But I asked her, I said, what's it like around the city right now with that team? And she says, to her, she says, I've never seen anything like this. Right. And of course, this is from a group that's won the Super Bowl, you know, 6 years ago.
Right.
What do you think about the swirl around this team, just from the fan enthusiasm point of view?
Oh, it's great. It's great. And I think Dana's right. The mood of the city right now, the city really is on fire. And I think it's I think part of it is that they're still riding the crest of the Phillies run, you know?
Yeah.
When you think about it, I mean, the Phillies had just a great season that far, far exceeded anyone's expectations. You know, and they called it Red October when they got to the playoffs. And, you know, everywhere you went in town, I mean, all you saw were people wearing Phillies hats and Phillies hoodies and sweatshirts, and anybody that watched any of those postseason games, I mean, you could just feel the electricity in the games from South Philadelphia. I mean, it just resonated through your TV set. So even though the Phillies came up short in the World Series, I don't think anybody was really disappointed. I mean, it was just sort of like, wow, that was a great run. But there was this tremendous level of energy in the city right then. And then the Eagles at that point, when that World Series ended, the Eagles were in the midst of their unbeaten streak. I mean, the Eagles were up to, what, 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, whatever it was they got up to. So one thing just kind of fed into the other. Like, the city was really all excited about what the Phillies were doing, and, you know, when they got to the World Series and didn't quite get there, well, people just stepped right off of that one train and stepped on the other, and, you know, and the Eagles just went on from there. So I think that Dana's right. I think that this energy in the city and this feeling of optimism and pride, really, is very real here. You know, and that's one of the reasons why it was so important for the Eagles to get that number one seed and get all home games, because anybody that's ever come to a sporting event in Philadelphia, be it the Phillies, be it the Flyers back in the day, be it the Eagles today, you know that coming in as a visiting team and coming into Philadelphia, it's not an easy trip. and no. A lot of times that those fans and that home field advantage can make a difference. And the Eagles are certainly counting on having that Saturday night.
As the season has gone on, Ray, where are the Eagles better than maybe, let's just pick a period in time, we'll go back to that mid-October area, where are they better now than maybe mid-October?
Oh, boy. Better. Well, I think they're better. I think their run defense has improved. I think the mid-season acquisition of Linville Joseph and Ndamukong Suh has given them some real veteran strength and muscle in the middle of the defensive line. You know, they drafted Jordan Davis with their first pick, the big, massive nose tackle from Georgia, who's a good player.
Yeah.
And was playing pretty well. But then he got hurt and he left. And when he went out, teams were running on the Eagles fairly successfully, actually. And Howie Roseman, the general manager, who's also had a great year, by the way,
yes.
He went out and immediately, within a week, he signed both Joseph and Suh and brought them in and put them in the middle of the defensive line. And the defensive line has gotten better. The run defense has gotten better. And it's going to have to be this week, because anybody that's seen the Giants this year, you know that Saquon Barkley is back. You know, after the bad knee injury and then the ankle injury last year, he didn't really look like the same player. And and this offseason, he worked really hard. And then all through the preseason, he kept saying, you know, you watch me. I'm coming back. The old Saquon is back. And if you've seen him, he is. I mean, he rushed for almost 1,400 yards this year, even sitting out the last game. And you saw a couple of those runs that he ripped off against the Vikings last week. That looked like the old Saquon Barkley. So if the Eagles are going to win this game on Saturday, everybody's talking about Daniel Jones and how great he played, and he did. But I think beating the Giants and stopping the Giants' offense really still starts with stopping Saquon Barkley.
I am personally familiar with Barkley's work, so yes.
I know you are.
So, okay, so now let's go to the other side of the question. Back to mid-October. Does something concern you now about the Eagles that didn't really concern you in mid-October?
No, the health of two very, very key players, and that's Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson. That is the biggest concern, because I mean you're talking about mid October at that point, and really honestly into through November, the Eagles were the best team in the NFL. I mean it was, and honestly it wasn't even close. I mean they weren't just the best team in the NFC; they were the best team in the league, and I don't think anybody would have argued that. Mm-hmm. I mean they were number one in offense. They were number two in defense. You know, they're on their way to 70 sacks. I mean, there wasn't anything they weren't really good at. They were number one giveaway takeaway. I mean, they were just dominant. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. They were just dominant to that point. You know, but then, you know, and they just killed the Giants up at the Meadowlands first week of December. I mean, so they scored 48. They could have scored 88 that day. I mean, they were just that much better. But then the next week they went to Chicago. And Jalen Hurts got hurt, and he was like really hurt. And then the next 2 weeks he sat out, and they had to play Gardner Minshew. They lost both of those games. They brought Hurts back for the final game of the regular season to nail down that number one seed, and the coaches put him on a real short playlist. I mean, they didn't let him do any running. They kept him in the pocket. It was a whole different Jalen Hurts. And that was good enough to win that game against the Giants JVs. But the question is, which Jalen Hurts is coming out the tunnel Saturday night? If it's the guy from October, November, then I think the Eagles are in good shape. If it's a guy who's going to have to be coddled and protected and not play his game, then it's a whole different team. I mean, it really, everything about this offense really revolves around the quarterback. He's been, I mean, I think that at the point where he went down, he was the MVP. I mean, as good as Mahomes has been, and he's great. If you go by the strictest definition of most valuable player, I mean, all you had to do was see the two games of Gardner Minshew to know how valuable Jalen Hurts is here. So they need to get that guy back by Saturday night.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You mentioned Howie Roseman earlier, and I'll go back to the night he drafted Devontae Smith and he flipped with the Cowboys. And
right.
It applies to this game because Devontae Smith's going to be playing in this game and Kadarius Toney's going to be playing for the Kansas City Chiefs in their playoff game.
Yeah.
What is it about the feel that Howie seems to have for personnel and construction that impresses you?
Well, I mean, there's been, you know, there's two sides to the Howie coin here. I mean, he's had a great year this year and made some great moves. But, you know, this is also the guy that drafted Jalen Reagor when he could have had Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
And this is the same guy that drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside when he could have had D.K. Mm-hmm. Metcalf. So he's not infallible, okay? Yeah. And the drafts have not been all that great. But when he's hit big. And listen, after last season, when the Eagles were into the offseason and everybody knew they had three first-round picks, I mean, there was a lot of chatter in Philadelphia about people saying, oh, God, can't they please get rid of Howie Roseman? I mean, they got three first-round picks here. I don't want this guy making them. Because everybody had seen Jalen Reagor, you know, and everybody had seen J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Sidney Jones and all of these first- and second-round busts, frankly. And they were terrified with the idea of Howie having getting three first-round picks and handing them to Howie Roseman. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, Marcus Hayes in the Daily News wrote it, and I think he was right about that. That in 1962, Aaron Judge hit nothing but home runs, and so did Howie Roseman. And that's really kind of true. I mean, just about every move he made in 2017 proved to be gold, and it did, and it led in the Super Bowl. It's been very much the same way this year. I mean, he turned one of those first round draft picks into AJ Brown, who's come in here and made an enormous contribution to the passing game. I mean, he came in here and in his first season as an Eagle broke the franchise record for receiving yards in a season, broke the record that was held by Mike Quick. And so he's been great. And Devontae Smith, you mentioned him, the Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama, came in a year before that. And this year he caught 95 balls, which was the most catches in a season by an Eagles wide receiver. So Howie's made, he's had his mistakes, but boy, I mean, he's responsible for constructing this roster. And if they can get a healthy Jalen Hurts back under center on Saturday night, you know, I think that this team has a really good chance to go into the big game.
I know what I mentioned about the retirement part at the beginning of this, so I'm going to close with this. What is it about going to the stadium that still excites you to this day?
Oh, just the energy. Just the energy. I mean, I still feel going to the stadium now, game day, that just when I get within sight of the stadium and start to see the first rank of ticket scalpers, and you know you're getting close, I just get a Christmas morning kind of tingle, and that was the way it was when I was just a kid going to the games at Franklin Field, and I still feel it to this day. And regular season, postseason, honestly preseason even, I just love the game. I love the atmosphere. I love the excitement of it, and I never really lost that. So the opportunity to come back, and I sat out this regular season. I was a fan, like all the other fans. Mm-hmm. But the opportunity to come back and actually work the postseason here, when this team really does have a legitimate chance to go all the way, is very, very exciting. I can't wait till Saturday night.
Ray, thanks so much for your time. We always appreciate it. You're the best, and we appreciate every word we get from you.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Steve. Say hi to my good friend Dick Girardi, okay?
I will. I'll see DJ Saturday.
All right. Okay, you do that. Take care, guys.
Thanks, man. Ray Dittinger. Talk about one of the best of all time. He is one of the best of all time. And you can easily argue that he's the best of all time when it comes to covering the NFL. But he certainly is one of them. If you want to put a group of them together, he is in that group. Matt now is more excited for the game than ever.
Oh, you bet.
It's Thursday.
I'm pacing myself.
No, you are. You are barely pacing yourself. What are you talking about?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
For goodness sakes, you sound like you've had 8 Red Bulls today.
Let's go with the Cokes. I'm not a big Red Bull kind of guy.
With what? Coca-Cola?
That's where I'm at. I'm a soda guy. I'm not a big energy drink guy.
Okay, so you like Coca-Cola. What else do you like?
I'm just a strict Coke and Pepsi type guy.
Okay.
I'm very simple.
All right. Well, I don't drink much of it at all, and anything I do have is diet, so because I have to be careful about the sugar. You, on the other hand, sound like you are on a total, complete sugar rush. Oh, we have to give out the phone number here, huh? So we have a new phone number.
We do.
1-800-HELP-ME. No, I'm just kidding. no?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
So it's 570. Okay? So it's our area code, 570. 743-9565. 570-743 9565. So the key part is the 743-9565. So just take the 7, make yourself 43, that's another 7. Okay? So 743-9565. We also have the suits cell number we want to give out. No? Not allowed?
No good! No good! No good!
I don't understand why you guys are taking away my fun. I don't understand it.
Not coming from me, I can tell you that.
I'm just kidding. But 743-9565, okay? 743-9565. Area code 570. So that's going to be our number from now on. You want to call in? Love to hear from you. You want to call in and give Matt some support as he goes down there in body armor, set to go. I always try to think of the stadium you're in. I know you think you're there among friends. Are you really, Matt?
Well, that depends.
This isn't Dodger Stadium, man. This is going to be a finely tuned crowd. Fair to say?
Yes. I'll give you that.
It's going to be a finely tuned crowd. These are your people. I wonder what's going to be more interesting to you, the parking lot or the stadium?
I'm probably going to have to go parking lot on that one. Based on my many past experiences.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. It's great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKO.